Tale as Old as Time, a video blogging RPF podfic written by Blue000J and read by a multi-voice cast of Fens and Marshes as Rambu and narrator,
Dia Passon as Tubbo,
God of Laundry Baskets as Tommy,
Jop as Phil,
Little Red Robin Hood as Wilbur,
Nova, All My Phantoms Are Killing Me as Sam,
Raven as Quackity,
and Black Glass as Techno Blade.
Summary. Rambu is not lonely, he tells himself as he works a summer job on the coastline. He's not lonely, he says, as he crashes into two of the oddest people he's ever met. He's not. Or, Rambu finds family in the most unexpected place. Mermaid is abound. Rambu stares at the watch on his arm like it might move faster if he glares hard enough. It's a new watch, one of the ones from the glass display case under him, plastic and thick, a heavy woven band tight around his wrist. Waterproof, with alarms and all the bells and whistles. Magic imbued into the surface, so if he loses it, it shows up back in his pocket 10 minutes later, as the shop owner had told him. His boss, technically. Outside, a seagull calls, and people mill about. Grey skies mean the boardwalk is a little less busy than normal, but then again, it's the middle of July. Summertime means patrons, even if there's more on the hotter days and less on the chillier. Rambu likes it better when it's cooler out. There are less tourists and more locals. They don't stop by the kitschy tourist trap shops and instead bypass them entirely, heading for the sand and the waves. Which means they bypass Rambu, and that's fine by him. He's only been working here for the last 2 summers, after all. As much as Sam teases him, he likes to think he's something of a local himself. Patterned shirts aside. It's comfortable tacky, he argues with Sam and sometimes Sapnap. They just laugh at him and call him a divorced dad. At least Quackity's on his side until they close up shop and leave. Then Rambu's on his own again. He's got 3 hours and 46 minutes left on his shift. In 2 hours, Quackity will come in and join him for an hour before Rambu can leave. Sam left an hour ago, leaving him alone and waving as he headed down the boardwalk himself. Rambu's tempted to put up the lunch sign and do a jog around the pier, breeze ruffling his hair as he pokes his nose out of the captain's cove, staring out over the horizon. Grey skies, a ruffle of storm. Their storefront is open to the water, and Rambu's been keeping an eye on the weather. A slow day due to it, but that just causes more anxiety. If the wind picks up any more, he'll have to call Sam back in. There's a speck of a person out on the waves, surfing by the looks of it. Rambu shakes his head minutely to himself. It's probably a selkie or someone used to the cold. Pulling back inside,
oh my god!
There's a hand on his arm and he whips around, staring for a second and readjusting. Below him, egregiously short really, is a boy with wide eyes and an even wider grin. He's gripping Rambu's shirt sleeve with delight. Rambu says eloquently, tugging at his arm to try and escape the assault. Can I help you?
Tommy!
The guy shrieks, voice pitched high enough to make Rambu wince and accented. Ah, tourists.
Come see his shirt, his clothing! Look at the colours, it's like coral, oh my!
Sea stars!
Someone sighs, and Rambu nearly chokes on his own spit at the way it's said, exasperated, like how a mother might chide a child.
Let go of the guy's arm, you fucking idiot! You're scaring him!
I am not!
He is, yeah, Rambu chokes out, staring at the second guy stepping around the shorter. This one's taller, a shock of blonde hair, and even more shockingly blue eyes. They meet Rambu's for a second before dipping, as the guy snags his friend's hand and tugs it off Rambu's sleeve. Grateful, he nods.
Do you work here?
The first boy asks, and Rambu takes a large step backwards. He's followed insistently, the brown-haired one poking his head into the shop and squealing again. He immediately ducks in, pushing past the stupid seashell curtain Sam had installed last summer and that clinks annoyingly whenever people enter. Rambu retreats to behind the counter in the cash register, about to answer but unable to get a word in edgewise as the guy keeps talking.
Everything is so colourful. Look at these, Tommy. They're the things you found the other week, but new, no barnacles, see?
He's holding up a pair of plastic-wrapped sunglasses. Cheap shit. The kind that's tacky and colourful, and that Rambu likes to tuck into his hair whenever the sun gets too bright and he doesn't want to squint.
I see them,
the blonde says, rolling his eyes.
Look at this, though.
He's pointing to a statue, one of the shell ones, with a mermaid sat in the centre. One of the blonde ones, long hair and a mouth open, caught mid-song.
What kind of bullshit? Not even mildly accurate.
Ooh.
The brown-haired one drops the glasses in favour of darting over to peer at the statue, then at Rambu. He feels much like a deer caught up in the headlights of some oncoming car.
Why do you sell this? I don't live up here unless you count.
Sorry,
the blonde guy says, slapping a hand over the first boy's mouth. Rambu resists the urge to laugh at his annoyed expression. Tommy, presumably, continues.
He gets... tell about fucking knock it off. He gets excited easily.
It's okay, Rambu says, completely and utterly bewildered. I just work here. I don't, control the stock. If you're worried about the mer, my boss says the beach is being cleared. Nothing to worry about. Oh, if you need help with anything. He's halfway through his spiel when the tubbo, apparently, slams his hands onto the glass countertop and grins at him. His teeth are pristine and almost sharp-looking as he smiles, dipping his head up to stare at Rambu.
I want a shirt like yours,
he demands, pointing with one finger and even poking at his sleeve again.
Like the coral.
What the fuck are you going to do with a shirt?
Tommy asks, coming around Tubbo's side and snagging his hand. They hover there, staring at each other. Rambu is utterly and completely lost.
I'm gonna wear it.
It'll get soaked.
I don't care. I'll figure out a way to keep it. You got to keep the necklace.
That was different.
Rambu slinks backwards a bit, the shuffle of movement catching the attention of the bickering two in front of him. Their heads snap over, Tommy glancing him up and down for a second. Rambu grimaces, gnawing on his lip as Tommy turns to the side again and stares at Tubbo. Tubbo stares back. There's a certain shiny quality to his eyes and he's pouting?
Fine,
Tommy spits, turning.
Tall boy, get him a shirt, stat.
Rambu is on the spot now and everything is going a bit fast. Not to mention... we don't sell them?
What?
Tommy throws his hands up in the air, still holding onto Tubbo's with a fierce grip, like maybe he'll run off if he lets go. From the 2 minutes Rambu's known them, he thinks Tubbo just might take that chance. He's long since stopped looking at Rambu, instead glancing around the rest of the store, staring down at the glass between him and the shiny fake jewellery they sell.
You're telling me you're a tourist trap and you don't sell shitty ocean shirts?
We sell everything else, Rambu says weakly. Tommy scoffs. Tubbo turns and then blinks.
Just give me yours,
he says. Tommy whips his head around to look at him. So does Rambu. Excuse me, he chokes out.
You know what?
Tommy says, nodding a bit.
Good idea. Hand over the shirt, tall boy.
He is so tall,
Tubbo says sagely, nodding, and Rambu sputters wildly. I am not giving you my shirt, he insists. He's got a backbone made of silly putty, but he's not going to-
Thanks,
Tubbo crows. Rambu's shirt is in Tubbo's hands, and he's standing there in just his t-shirt and stupid fanny pack Sapnap gave him over Christmas break. He doesn't even fucking remember giving him the shirt. And Tommy's hitting Tubbo's shoulder with a look.
I told you not to,
he whispers furiously.
It's not good.
But he gave me his shirt,
Tubbo whispers back. It's a bit pointless. Rambu is right there. He can hear them. His head's a bit fuzzy all of a sudden, sure, but he can still hear them. How did... he begins, then shakes his head. Stop. Hold on. What is going on? You two can't just...
Thanks for the shirt,
Tubbo crows.
And the sunglasses.
He's got a plastic pair of sunglasses in his hands. They're green. Rambu cares less about those than his shirt. You have to pay, he insists, moving slightly to go over to the counter. And my shirt...
Bye!
Rambu blinks the fuzzy static out of his eyes and ears and stares at the empty shop around him. The seashell curtain clatters. After a moment, the breeze ruffles through them and makes goosebumps raise on his arms. He lifts his hands to them, rubbing his fingers insistently over the skin as he stares in confusion out the front of the shop. Poking his head out of the doorway gives him no clues. There are no other teenagers in sight, much less the loud and excited ones he'd just been talking to a moment before. The breeze sweeps over the back of his neck, ruffling his hair and making a few more goosebumps rise again, this time all over his body. The sea churns a few hundred yards away. Rambu's head is staticky and he's not sure what the heck just happened, but he can smell the storm coming on, so he ducks inside and grabs his phone to call Sam. It's not the last time he sees them. The storm comes and goes, waves lashing against the coast. Rambu watching as the sky darkens from his apartment above the fudge shop that closes at 9 p.m. on the dot, every day no matter the weather. He watches the rain pound against his window, feet tucked under him as he stares just past the buildings and watches the sea eat at the shoreline, only just visible between buildings and roofs. He watches until the night takes over and all he can hear is rain, slipping into bed and trying to put the day's events behind him. The lights flicker once or twice. Rambu wonders if the landlord would remember to turn them back on if they went out all the way, if the landlord would remember there was anyone living here at all. As he's taking his shorts off for bed, Rambu finds his watch in his pocket, definitely not where he'd left it. Seems fitting enough that someone who could steal the shirt off his back could pickpocket a watch, too. Quietly, Rambu's glad the thing is charmed to come back to him. Otherwise, he'd always be late. The next day, he slaps the thing onto his wrist once more and heads down to the boardwalk, bright and early. Sam had said it was all right that they'd stolen the glasses. He'd just update the anti-theft wards and told Rambu if he saw them again to hit the emergency button for one of the security guards. Rambu had forgotten about that button until now, actually. Usually he doesn't have to deal with people stealing the literal shirt off his back. He's not expecting to see them again. Who would return to the scene of the crime?
Hey!
The day's sticky and hot, filled with tourists now, not the cold grey day it had been earlier in the week. The clouds are gone and now there's salt in the air, people crowding the beach and music pumping over the loudspeakers. Down the boardwalk a bit, oil hisses and spits and families traverse the warm boards in flip-flops and bare feet. Rambu's on his own once more, selling a painted seashell to a young girl, when he hears that voice and snaps his head up. It's the blonde one. Hey, he says back, wary. The brown-haired one His name had started with a T, right? The other one is nowhere in sight. He carefully hands over the little girl's change and watches as she darts out of the shop, seashells clinking as she exits and the blonde guy enters. He's got on red swim trunks and a white T-shirt, letting his hand fall from his slightly damp hair. There's sand crusting on his bare feet and salt by his eyes. I'm supposed to call the police on you, you know.
That'll be a shit, thank you,
the blonde says with a scowl, and then there's a wet plop. Rambu stares at the mess of red shirt and... Is that seaweed? He asks, tipping his head back and away as the stink of ocean water and kelp drifts up to his nose.
I got a bit wet,
the teenager says.
Now, say thank you. I brought it back. My dad made me.
I... thank you? Rambu says, staring at the wet fabric. I don't really want it back now, if I'm being honest.
Oh.
The blonde scowls, then reaches out and scoops it up.
Then I'm keeping it. Tubbo liked it.
Wait, Rambu says, and scrabbles against the damp glass. It streaks under his fingers. Right, the brown-haired one was Tubbo. You can't just... You stole the shirt. Off my back? Literally? And the sunglasses... I can't just let you go, he insists. The blonde kid raises an eyebrow, tucking the damp shirt under his arm and glancing around.
And what?
He asks.
You're gonna stop me? On those spindly legs?
Rambu sputters. The blonde laughs, throwing his head back and showing his teeth. It's an infectious kind of laugh, the one that makes Rambu want to stutter in his own nervous giggles, because he has no clue what is going on. But he doesn't. He swallows down the laughter, mouth shutting with a click of his teeth. The blonde tips his head back down, grinning wide.
See you later, you human fuck,
he says, and then he dips before Rambu can even twitch his fingers towards the emergency button. He tries to follow, but the crowd on the boardwalk is thick, and a family pushes into the store looking at novelty mugs, and Rambu shoves the encounter to the back of his mind. He doesn't even mention it to Sam at the end of the day, putting on a smile and nodding when asked if the day went well. He's going to equate this to a stealth mission, wait for the two of them to show up at the same time. Not just one. Both, and then he'll press the emergency button and everything will be fine. Everything is not fine.
Big man!
Tall boy!
Twin voices shrieking, an alarm down the boardwalk, and two very fast teenagers bolting into Captain's Cove with wet hair and arms full of seashells. Rambu is so glad the shop is empty today and he's the only one here. Somehow, they always end up arriving when he's alone. Maybe he's going crazy. Maybe they're keeping tabs on him.
I like your shirt.
Tubbo chirps from his hiding spot behind a rack of t-shirts with the boardwalk's name sprawled across the front. Rambu glances down at the green beach print against his own tan arms. Thanks, he says, then continues vaulting over the top of the counter and points at the door. I don't know what you're doing, but get out.
Oh, what?
Tubbo says, and the other's blonde hair pops up from behind the treasure chest he's hiding behind. It's big and plastic, just big enough to actually be a potential hiding spot.
Come on, help us!
I have no idea what you did, Rambu insists, glancing at the doorway. The alarm is still going off, somewhere down the boardwalk, and there's shouting. And you stole from here too, I think. I'm not sure how you did, but you did.
They're just shells,
the blonde pipes up.
And I tried to give you your shirt back.
It was covered in seaweed.
Tommy, you took it back after I lost...
Tubbo whips around, glaring. Tommy's head pops up, and Rambu is once again left in a state of semi-shock as they bicker, apparently totally unconcerned with the security going wild outside. Rambu takes a step backwards, eyeing the counter and the emergency button underneath.
Phil told me to,
Tommy hisses.
He said it might draw more attention. I thought it'd be nice, but he didn't want it.
I told you not to touch my stuff, you prick.
And I told you not to use a... Oh shit, he's going for the button.
The next thing Rambu knows, he's on the floor and his head's all staticky again. Above him, Tubbo and Tommy peer at him with equally concerned and amused expressions.
You all right?
Tommy asks, and Tubbo hooks an arm with Rambu's, helping him sit up. He freezes for a moment, and Rambu traces Tubbo's gaze to the watch on his wrist. For a second, his hand falls onto it and pauses, before Tubbo rips his fingers away and forces a grin onto his face.
Legs are stupid,
Tubbo says, nodding slightly as Rambu blinks away the stars in his eyes and vaguely wonders why the back of his head hurts, ignoring the odd behaviour in favour of making sure he doesn't have a concussion.
Do you do that often? Four. It seems so inconvenient.
What is going on? Rambu says, lifting a hand to check the back of his head. No blood, at least. Who are you?
Tubbo!
Tubbo chirps. I know that, Rambu says. Why do you keep... What is going on?
Couldn't tell you, big man.
Tubbo says, and whaps him on the back, hard enough for Rambu to choke. Tommy mimics the motion, and Rambu coughs again, all three boys freezing as the seashells clink in the front of the shop. They're on the floor back here, low enough that Rambu can't see who's entering, but that question is blissfully answered in half a second.
Rambu?
Quackity's voice calls out, sounding confused.
You in here?
Shit.
Tommy swears, and then Tubbo's scrambling and shells are falling out of his pockets as the two teenagers let go of Rambu in favour of ducking further into the back of the store. For reasons beyond his own understanding, Rambu calls out, "I'm here," and scrambles to his feet. Quackity looks confused. Behind him, the canvas tent of the store ruffles. Rambu blames it on the breeze in his head, and when he glances behind him, the rest of the shop is empty. "Dropped a shirt," he explains as an excuse. Quackity goes from confused to understanding in a moment, grinning.
"Hey man, it happens. You hear about the place down the road? Apparently some fae or something."
Rambu knows what happened already. He pretends to listen as he nurses the back of his head inconspicuously, sneaking glances at the blue ocean out the door as Big Q chatters on. The next time he sees them, Rambu thankfully isn't working. He's just left, actually. Sam had thrown him out early.
"It's a nice day. Go have some fun."
And he'd obediently gathered his things and left. Not like he's planning on sticking around. Sam is a good boss, and his co-workers are nice, but they're all a bit older than him. He feels more like a younger cousin some days, hovering on the edge of their friendship as watching as they all saunter off to do their own thing at the end of the day, forgetting him. It's not perfect, and he tells himself he doesn't mind, but... It's a warm day, not too hot but not too cool either, and the beach is pretty packed. He's debating treating himself with an ice cream before he heads home to the fudge shop and empty, tiny apartment with too many locks on the doors when someone links their arm with his on the left. A hand is thrown over his shoulder on the right.
"Let's walk,"
Tommy says with a shit-eating grin. Rambu stares. Tubbo cackles. They walk. They all end up getting ice cream, actually. Rambu pays for all three of them, watching Tommy instruct the vendor for three different flavours stacked on top of each other. Tubbo gets one scoop of chocolate. Rambu decides, after a lengthy stare at the menu, on mango.
"I don't know why you chose mango,"
Tommy proclaims as they walk down the centre of the boardwalk, out of the way of bikes and pedestrians alike. Tubbo's a few feet ahead of them, licking at his hand as the melted chocolate drips.
"The fruit is gross. Slimy. Disgusting. Like sea pickles."
Rambu obstinately licks his scoop, turning the cone in his hand so it doesn't drip onto his fingers. "It's tangy," he argues right back. "I paid for it. And yours too. And I didn't snitch you two out either."
"Thanks for that,"
Tubbo crows, coming back to their group and grinning as he walks backwards, occasionally stumbling a bit. Despite his clumsiness, he never seems to fall.
"I just wanted some shells."
"Do you not have money?" Rambu asks, glancing between the two. Tommy takes a bite out of his ice cream. A bite, with his teeth. Rambu internalizes his cringe.
"Depends,"
Tommy explains, and Tubbo digs around in the pocket of his swim trunks for a moment. It's all they seem to wear, Rambu realises. Trunks and t-shirts. No shoes and damp hair. A moment later, he's holding out his hand with palm up, and Rambu peers carefully at what he's being shown. A few euros lay scattered on his palm, a quarter here and there, some other coins Rambu can't identify. And more shells. A whole loop of them, holes drilled into the centre and strung up on what looks to be twine.
"Is this enough to buy fancy shells?"
Rambu thinks of the price tag on the painted, imported seashells at Captain's Cove and shakes his head. Tubbo shoves the handful of coins back into his pockets and shrugs.
"There's your answer,"
Tubbo says cheerfully, pausing for a moment to catch up with his dripping ice cream.
"Thanks for the..."
He trails off. He and Tommy exchange a look, an unspoken conversation, before Tubbo glances back at Rambu.
"Cold stuff."
"Ice cream?" Rambu prompts. Tubbo grins.
"Ice cream!"
he shouts, turning back around and practically skipping ahead.
"Come on, I want to go ride the thingy with the engine and the smoke!"
It's called a train?
Tommy says, puffing out his chest like he's proud to know the name of it. Rambu stares as Tommy hurries to catch up with Tubbo before doing the same himself.
It's a train, and it's got an engine, and it runs on coal.
Okay, okay,
Tubbo says, waving a hand.
I want to ride it.
You don't have any money, Rambu reminds him. Twin grins are shot his way. Oh, no, he says, but there's already an arm in his and fingers gripping his sleeve. Oh, no, 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 I am not paying for...
Come on, big man.
He ends up paying for 3 train tickets. The seats in the cars are tiny. It's clearly a kid's ride, evidenced by the way they're surrounded by families and mothers who shoot deadly glares their way whenever Tommy swears too loud. Rambu's knees are practically pushed up to his chin, making Tubbo shriek with laughter, but he endures it in favour of resting his ice cream there and working on finishing it as the train chugs along the side of the boardwalk.
You're taller than Wilbur,
Tubbo says in delight.
Oh, he'd be so pissed.
It would be funny,
Tommy admits. Who's Wilbur? Rambu asks. His query is met with blank stares and looks filled with conspiracy before Tommy asks a question and Tubbo gives a very wrong answer about how the train works. Rambu decides not to push the question in fear of maybe making these new friends angry, and instead stares at his ice cream and listens. We could have walked faster than this, he comments about halfway through. Tubbo shushes him with a wave of his hand and a pointed look, then continues chattering away about trains with Tommy. Rambu decides to just continue tuning out for the most part, sometimes poking his nose into the conversation to inject a right, right, or mm-hmm. Why is he hanging out with them? Admittedly, it's exciting. He finds out they're pretty much the same age as he is, teenagers on vacation. Rambu shies away from the questions about his own life, and so does Tommy for the most part, but Tubbo's more than happy to share as they finish their ice cream and their train ride. He talks about travelling and places they've been, filling the silence all the way through. They hop off the train at the end, tossing the paper cones into the trash, and end up leaning against the railing at the end of the boardwalk. Rambu rests his elbows there, watching as the sun goes golden against the horizon. The sea is closer here, waves lapping at the shore only a little ways from the boardwalk. Behind them, the amusement park part of the place starts to light up in brilliant neon colours. It's a perfect summer evening.
I love this place,
Tubbo says fondly.
It's so exciting and fun. Not boring, like...
Tommy coughs, and Tubbo redirects a bit.
Like home.
Home is fine,
Tommy argues back.
It's not a shithole or anything.
Still,
Tubbo throws a hand out.
Look, this is the whole point we're here, after all.
All 3 of them turn their head towards the sunset, and Rambu squints slightly. I think I'm going to go, he says, after a moment of silence. There's...
Aww.
Tubbo croons.
But this afternoon was so fun.
Stay!
Tommy chirps from his other side.
For a little longer?
Why do you want him to stay?
Tubbo asks, peering around Rambu to glare.
You said you didn't like him.
Well, he's not awful, I suppose.
Aha! So you admit it, you do like him.
I still think I'm going to go, Rambu cuts in, watching with a faint smile as they both whip their heads to stare. I've been up since, 5:30 this morning. I'm really tired, okay?
I didn't sleep last night,
Tubbo says in response. Rambu raises an eyebrow. That's more concerning than you think, he informs him, watching as Tubbo curls inwards with his shoulders and cackles to himself. He pushes back off the railing, the wood harsh against his palms, but he's entirely unconvinced of the pain as he brushes the feeling away on his shorts. I'm tired. I want to go home. But, we should hang out again? Tubbo's face screws up and he sticks his tongue out. Tommy rolls his eyes and punches his shoulder, and Rambu snorts out a laugh at it, staggering slightly.
Sure, bye,
Tommy says.
Fucking loser. Thanks for the train ride.
See you later,
Tubbo says, raising a hand in goodbye. They're both haloed by the sun, brilliant light against their backs and creating shadows in both of their hairs. Tommy looks like spun gold, Tubbo like homemade honey. For a second, Rambu feels weightless, breathless with friendship. And then he's blinking static out of his eyes and rubbing away a faint hum in his ears. Bye, he says, raising a hand in goodbye as well, turning to head home. He doesn't see the look they share as he goes. That night, Rambu wakes up on the beach. He's sleepwalked before. He locks his doors to keep himself inside. He paints the windows shut if he has to. For all 2 years he's lived here during the summer, he's never found himself outside. Maybe on the floor, sure, or in the small kitchen, but never outside. He'd left that behind him with... well, he'd left that behind him, and he never wakes up outside these days. Never with his toes in the sand, midnight wind in his hair, blinking away sleep as he stares out at the ocean. The first thing he feels is the tranquil peace of a dream slipping away, and for a brief flicker of a second, he's utterly unconcerned with his place in the world. It's just him and the sand, and he's only a few feet from walking into the ocean, and all of a sudden, terror pulls through him, real and raw. He staggers backwards, landing in the soft sand with a thump. It's only a tad warm still from the heat of the day, and his fingers sift through it, catching on rocks and mini pieces of driftwood as he goes. Ahead of him, waves lap onto the shore and off. The whole air smells like salt and bird shit and...
Boob!
Someone's hand is on his shoulder, and when he looks up, it's Tommy. Pretty sure he never told Tommy his name, but somehow he knows it anyways. Maybe from his name tag at work. Yeah, definitely there. Tommy, he says, gasping for air because maybe he's panicking a little. How did I...
Sleptwalk, I presume. On the good doc's order,
Tommy says. He's grinning and his eyes seem to shine in the moonlight. When did it get so bright?
You feel okay?
I'm fine, Rambu says, shuffling to sit up a bit straighter. Something sinks in. Wait, how are you...
There you are!
Splashing, and when Rambu whips his head around to look, Tubbo's splashing his way out of the surf. His hand comes down from a leather strap or something around his neck. Is that a stone? And Rambu blinks. He could have sworn it was glowing. Swimming at night is dangerous, he informs the two teenagers in front of him, because his mind is still a bit confused and sleepy, and Rambu's still coming off the high of waking up on a beach. Behind them, the boardwalk is silent and empty.
Not for us,
Tubbo assures him, coming over and plopping in the sand beside Rambu. It sticks to his damp skin, coating his knees as he kneels and then plops onto his butt. Tommy does the same, kicking up a big scuffle of sand and coating all three of their feet with it.
Oi!
Sharks? Rambu says. It doesn't make any sense, and based on the way Tommy and Tubbo burst into matching giggles, it doesn't to them either.
Shut up,
Tommy says, reaching up to whap Rambu firmly on the head.
And snap out of it. We're going for a swim, us three.
I just said it was dangerous, Rambu reminds him, and it earns him another slap upside the head. Ow!
And I just said... Not for us,
Tubbo parrots back before scrambling to his feet again and holding out a hand.
Come on.
Rambu hesitates as Tommy also gets up, brushing the sand off his arms and feet the best he can. He's just in his swim trunks now, and Rambu's got goosebumps from the wind. Neither of them seem bothered. I don't think I should.
Stop being a killjoy,
Tommy groans.
Come swim with us.
Please.
Tubbo asks, fluttering his eyelashes. I can't, Rambu says, the words shaping in his throat but sticking, unable to get out. I'm not...
For fuck's sake, man, spit it out.
I can't swim. Silence and then a tiny, hysterical giggle from Tubbo.
You work on a boardwalk.
Tommy says slowly, as if he's working through it in his mind.
At a beach, and you can't swim.
No, Rambu says. His mouth is oddly dry.
What the fuck?
Tommy sighs.
Not a problem, big man.
Tubbo says fondly, ignoring Tommy in favour of reaching down and tugging Rambu up with a surprising ease.
It doesn't get deep for a bit here. Just take a few steps in. It'll be fun.
Rambu can't swim. He follows them into the shallows anyways. The water laps at his ankles, cold, a shiver going all the way up his spine to the crown of his head. Tubbo's got a solid hold on his hand, fingers intertwined as he draws Rambu out into the water step by step. It really doesn't get too deep for a little bit, and Rambu knows he's freakishly tall. By the time Tubbo's up to his hips, Rambu's still only got water lapping at his thighs. It sets in then, and before he can stop himself, he's laughing nervously.
Why are you making that noise?
Tommy complains vaguely from somewhere behind him. There's a splash of water against his back, and Rambu shuffles to the side in surprise. I'm in my pajamas, he explains with another nervous giggle. In the ocean, in the middle of the night. With you two, who I barely know.
It's insane,
Tubbo says giddily, squeezing his fingers.
Come on.
I think this is far enough, Rambu says, that nervous bubble travelling from his stomach to his chest. He never had a chance to live out his rebellious teenage years. Maybe this is why, the crippling anxiety coming along that tells him something is going to go wrong, to tell him that he is undoubtedly in the wrong, that the police will show up any minute or there's going to be a riptide or...
Nonsense,
Tubbo says cheerfully, and then shoves Rambu backwards into the water. Panic. Sheer and utter panic, swallowing him whole, more suffocating than the water surrounding him. His eyes burn, his mouth fills with salt, and he immediately tries to right himself. There's hands on his shoulders, voices chattering around him, laughter. How can they be laughing while he's panicking like this, while they're holding him down? He fails, trying to escape their hands, but whoever's hands are on him are like claws, and they press him into the water. Unbidden, Rambu's eyes open, and above him are the muted and warped figures of two other teenagers. It's what he gets for trusting these two, Rambu thinks to himself, wrapping his fingers around the wrist holding him down and trying to tug it off. He's already weak from panic and lack of oxygen. The grip hardly shifts. Then something's being slung around his neck.
Just breathe,
someone's saying sweetly to him, and Rambu opens his mouth and obeys. He's expecting a mouthful of salt water and pain. All he gets is blessed oxygen and the weirdest sensation he's ever felt. It's like that one time when he inhaled jello, but far less painful and more satisfying instead. And he doesn't choke this one up. Instead, he's left gasping for air as something chirps and cheers in his ears. He shut his eyes again at some point, and without much preamble, wrenches them open. Hovering in front of him is a face with green scales and slitted eyes and, oh.
Hi!
The creature that was at one point Tubbo chirps, a bubble floating from his mouth to the surface. His hair is floating on end, swirling in shades of brown and green. He's got what looks to be antenna.
Calm down!
No, Rambu says to be contradictory, and promptly panics more. Your skin, it's all... And your eye... How am I... Where are we... What's going on? He gasps, glancing around. They're underwater. They're underwater.
Well, no shit.
Tubbo snorts.
I gave you my excursion crystal.
Your what? Rambu asks, momentarily distracted by a piece of seaweed as it floats by. He can see much clearer than before, he notes. There's no warping around him, and although the sea is dark, the moonlight from above lights it up much more than he'd thought possible. They're farther out from shore as well, the sand no longer just a foot or so away, now instead a good 10 or so. His feet float aimlessly below him, horribly inefficient in their new surroundings. Around his feet curls a greenish, scaled thing, slippery against his bare calves and sharp in some places. He follows it upwards with his eyes, where it melds into skin and gills and antenna of all things. Tubbo grins. His teeth are sharp.
My excursion, Crystal?
He repeats, like it makes any sense.
Told me I'll be back with his in a second. I threw it so he'd stop trying to strangle you with it.
You pushed me, Rambu gasps. Into the water.
You weren't going willingly.
Tubbo shrugs. His voice warbles, a different tone now that they're under the water. Under the water. And Rambu is breathing. Probably thanks to the crystal on woven rope around his neck, glowing with a gentle purple thrum. Crystal, Rambu says, gasping despite there being no air. Right.
We're merfolk,
Tubbo says, as if it's not obvious. Rambu snorts, nervous laughter.
Sorry for not telling you.
Looking back on it, Rambu says, waving his hand back and forth, reveling in the way the water drags against his skin. It makes sense.
I still have your shirt,
Tubbo chirps happily. There's a croon in his throat that's hard to miss, inhuman noises coming from everywhere and nowhere.
Stop fucking singing nursery rhymes,
Tommy shouts, and then he's coming back into view and Rambu's breath catches again. Tommy is bigger than Tubbo is, by a lot. Tail long and whip-like, bright red and black against the pale sand. A fish follows, curled up around his back area where fins poke out of his skin, a similar sharpness to them. He's got the antenna too, speckles of scales all the way up to his face and cradling his cheeks. His hair is no longer blonde, it's black down here, mixed with the occasional golden strand. His eyes are dark, utterly inhuman, and Rambu's breath is caught in both terror and awe.
It's helping,
Tubbo argues, and suddenly there are claws on Rambu's face, guiding his gaze back over to Tubbo. Tubbo, with his golden green eyes and a low crooning sound that echoes and settles something deep in Rambu's mind.
See? He's calm now.
I should be freaking out, Rambu admits. This is...
fucking wild, I know.
Tommy cuts in with a grin, and his teeth look even sharper than Tubbo's.
Surprise! Tubbo's been charm-speaking you all week.
Don't snitch,
Tubbo whines, and despite the inhuman overtones and undertones, the croon under his breath, he sounds remarkably like he did above the water.
Phil will be so angry.
You did it 3 times,
Tommy points out, and Rambu is still confused as to what it is, but he decides to just stay quiet for now and stare at the hypnotic, winding tail that's currently wrapped around one of his legs.
First to get the shirt.
Okay,
Tubbo says, clapping his hands together with a muted thud.
Let's get going. I want to introduce him to everyone before the sun rises. We've got 1 day left with these crystals and they'll go to waste otherwise.
I am so confused, Rambu informs Tubbo, who looks delighted as he takes one of Rambu's arms in hand. His fingers, claws, are gentle as he tugs, and Tommy's got his other arm in hand before too long.
Don't crowd him, Henry,
Tommy instructs the fish Rambu had noticed earlier. It's a little brown thing, and it backs off at Tommy's request from where it had been nosing at Rambu's shirt. They start to move, quicker than Rambu could ever hope to swim, and any attempt at moving his legs to help is met with a sharp bat from a tail on either side of him. They're going deeper in the water, he notices, the sand dropping down and both merfolk on either side of him following the slope. They don't stop, even speeding up a bit as the sand drops more and the ocean expands beneath them, seemingly bottomless, and then it's not again and there's stone rising up from the bottom and it's also quick and shadows pass, schools of fish and creatures and...
Calm down,
Tubbo says, a hand patting the thin skin of his arm. Rambu thinks he should be cold this deep into the ocean. He should be drowning, crushed to death by the pressure. But he's light and warm, and the crystal hanging around his throat hums as they settle onto a patch of soft white sand, a stone rising above them with kelp strands floating along it. Explain, Rambu demands once they've touched down, once Tommy has let go of his arm and his feet scramble in the sand. It puffs up as he touches it, clouds of billowing pale white. Am I dreaming? Is this it? This is a dream? It certainly feels dreamlike.
No,
Tubbo says with a smile.
We're merfolk. That crystal's magic. It was our birthday, Tommy and I.
We're twins,
Tommy says proudly, as though they look anything alike.
So we got our excursion crystals and we got to spend 2 weeks on land. It's tradition. Phil let us go by ourselves.
Phil's our dad.
And then we met you, and you were nice, and you helped us get shells, and you gave me your shirt. Obviously you wanted to come swim with us.
Tubbo says all of this like it's the most obvious shit in the world. Rambu stares at him, then glances at Tommy, who's grinning much the same. Then glances at the rock and the floating ropes of kelp around them. He stays quiet for a moment, reaching out and gently touching one. It's silky smooth and caresses his fingertips gently, just enough sensation that Rambu could believe it's real. I definitely think I'm dreaming, he says quietly, glancing once more at his feet in the sand. The clouds from before have only just settled, so he kicks up another. It feels dreamlike.
Not a dream, sexy.
Tubbo chirps happily, and then there's that long tail again and its fins, curling around one of Rambu's ankles. I don't think you know what that word means, Rambu informs him. He takes a moment to fully study them. Some of the hanging bits are actually just decoration, he notes, trailing up to Tubbo's waist where there's a belt and mismatched adornments, what looks to be a pouch of some kind, scavenged human jewellery decorating his wrists and body. Green patterns, tattoo-like in nature but fainter than that, echo up his skin and end up as splattered freckles across his nose. Antenna, of course, long and hair-like coming from his head as the rest of his hair splays out in the currents around them. Tommy's much of the same when Rambu turns to look at him, only a size or two bigger. His tail's definitely longer, more fins attached, but he's got the same types of decoration Tubbo's wearing and those same tattoo-like spirals on his skin. And the antenna, mixed in with his dark hair. Tommy grins when Rambu catches his eye, and once again he's treated to the sight of sharp teeth. Pinch me then, Rambu demands, and then yelps as his wish is granted. Tommy's fingers pull back and he jerks his arm away in tandem, staring down at the rising red irritation. It hurt, so that must mean...
You're not dreaming,
Tommy insists.
So shut up about it already and come swim with us.
But I'm not supposed to be using magic, Rambu insists, even as he reaches out to touch the kelp again. That stuff's for transmuters and abjurers and...
What are you?
Tubbo asks, suddenly interested.
Speaking of magic.
Nothing, Rambu tells him, whirling around and watching as a strand of his own hair, dark, floats past. He reaches up, marveling in the way it seems to halo around his head. Just me.
We could test,
Tubbo says, leaning in forwards and snagging the crystal around his neck.
There's enough left over in here from Phil for me to... Oh, Tommy, give me yours.
Absolutely the fuck not.
Tommy hisses, tugging his own crystal, no longer glowing, just a chunk of rock, out of Tubbo's grasp. They both worm and wiggle around, currents buffeting Rambu's face as the two tangle together in a playfight for the magic.
Get off, you squid!
Rambu takes advantage of their momentary distraction to study the crystal around his own throat. When he lifts a hand up to hold it, it feels warm. Definitely magic. Pulsing and glowing purple, casting shadows between his fingers and over his skin. He doesn't take it off, no doubt it's the only thing keeping him alive, and if he pushes just right, it almost feels like the air gets thinner. He drops the crystal in favour of kicking his feet absently. He hadn't been joking when he said he couldn't swim. Growing up landlocked will do that to you, and no one had ever bothered to try and teach him. It's half of why he came to this beach and the boardwalk and he tries now, pushing his feet off the pale sand beneath them and floating up slightly. He kicks, feeling the current around his toes, the pressure of water surrounding his whole body. He waves his arms a bit, and that seems to work, pushing him forward through the water and the whole world tilting a bit as he goes more horizontal than not. Rambu glides forward a few feet, finally, hands splayed to catch the water, and for a second he feels weightless. It's not a bad feeling,
Any fear is sapped out of him, what with the magic on his throat.
Aww.
Someone coos behind him. Right. Turning ahead does nothing except throw him off his trajectory, and suddenly he's upside down and snorting out laughter alongside Tommy and Tubbo as they right him.
It's like watching a fry learn to swim,
Tommy comments, half of the words flying right over Rambu's head as he brushes the hair out of his eyes.
Shut up,
Tubbo says, and he's all wrapped around Rambu's legs again.
You're swimming!
Since you two were busy arguing, I figured I might as well, he sasses, watching as both their eyes widen and then Tubbo devolves into laughter once more. Mm-hmm, I can do things on my own, see?
He's so funny,
Tubbo says, and all of a sudden, arms are wrapped around his torso and he's being pinned. Hugged. There's not much difference between the two actions. Tubbo's skin is cool. They must run colder than humans do, if the temperature is anything to go by.
I'm so glad we're adopting you.
What? Rambu gasps out a laugh, turning slightly. Hold on, no one said anything about adopting.
I hereby claim thee as a son of the sea,
Tubbo proclaims loudly, and Tommy just crosses his arms and rolls his eyes where he's floating a few feet away.
If you've got no magic, it'll be an easy spot to fill. Phil can do it, he's super powerful.
The first trial is getting him to Phil,
Tommy says.
I told Wilbur to meet us here, but he's late, of fucking course.
Where is here? Rambu glances around, staring at the long strings of kelp, the stones. It's just a...
message board,
Tubbo informs him, letting go of the hug for a brief moment in order to flick his tail, pushing forward. He snags a piece of the kelp, dragging it down, and only then does Rambu spot the knots in the chain of it. He drags a finger along up the surface, smiling.
The knots are language, like how above water you use paper. Man, you're really not from the coast, huh?
No, Rambu says, kicking his feet in order to push over towards Tubbo. I told you, I can't swim. I just moved out here a year or two ago. Sam, well, he said this beach was mer-free. Aren't you guys supposed to live down in warmer waters? Merfolk are tight-knit. Rambu tries to scrounge up what little knowledge he can remember from an education that really didn't teach him anything. Pods, siren song, a rocky history with humans, and a tendency to disappear for years on end. Merfolk were neither the kindest nor most open of creatures. He hadn't been expecting any at all this far north.
Phil likes to travel,
Tommy grumps, coming over and snagging a piece of kelp for his own. His fingers move deftly, tying knots into his own strand before he loops it around a stone to keep it in place.
So, we follow.
You follow.
Tubbo pokes fun, letting go of the kelp in order to literally poke at Tommy.
Clingy.
Fuck you, I am not clingy.
Before the argument can truly start, something whistles, high-pitched and sweet. Rambu cocks his head and he can physically see the way Tommy and Tubbo's ears perk up, how they both turn their heads and smile. Rambu's hardly left to wonder as the water shifts around them, as a new shape forms and comes out of the darkened blue.
Wilbur,
Tommy chirps, immediately sidling up to the other mer who's suddenly appeared. He's affectionate for all of 2 seconds, then is punching him in the arm with a scowl.
You're late.
You're the one who told me to meet you here at Moon High,
the other mer says. He's about the same size as Tommy, if not a foot or so longer, tail a deep brown with streaks of gold that match Tommy's in shade. Rambu stares for a second, meets his gaze, and then ducks his head. Wilbur's hair is the same shade as Tubbo's, and he doesn't hesitate to twine tails with Tubbo, ignoring the punches and blows being steadily dealt by Tommy's hand.
And so I am here, ever curious. Who's the human? Why is he wearing Tubbo's magic?
I gave it to him,
Tubbo says fondly, and all of a sudden, his tail's on Rambu again, fins flicking slightly.
So he wouldn't drown.
You're so kind,
Wilbur says, sounding patient, but there's a bubble of something beneath the surface as he flicks his fins and approaches Rambu, eyeing him, a glint in his gaze as he takes his hand, cold digits making Rambu hold his breath as Wilbur slots their hands together. He's very close, all of a sudden. Rambu's frozen.
You're sure he's harmless?
For sure,
Tommy snorts, having given up beating on Wilbur and instead finding his way to Rambu's side once more.
He's practically fish food.
That sentence is accompanied by a snap of his teeth and makes Rambu go still again. Wilbur's hand pulls away and Tubbo curls up at his side again. Tubbo is much more comforting than that cold creature, he thinks privately.
Take us home,
Tubbo complains, a whine in his throat.
That's why we asked you here, to help.
And what makes you think I'll help plead your case to Phil?
Because you're nice.
Because you owe me for covering you last time we were at Sally's beach.
Tommy grins and Wilbur freezes. Slowly, he turns, and then, in a flash of brown and gold, he's barreling into Tommy's stomach and wrestling.
Fine.
Wilbur chirps, holding Tommy in a headlock and glaring down.
I'll help. Don't say a word to Phil about Sally, got it?
Got it.
Tommy laughs, wiggling just enough to get out of the hold and come back over to Rambu. He holds out a hand.
Let's go, tall boy.
Rambu eyes his fingers suspiciously, then takes it. Tubbo lets out a raucous whoop from beside him, and his tail unwinds from around his legs, and then they're moving. Moving so fast. It's almost like flying, Rambu thinks, as they whoosh through the water. The mer's tails are powerful things, and as they get deeper and deeper, Rambu reckons he shouldn't be able to see as well as he is. Tubbo's little tattoo spots start to light up, and when he tears his eyes away from that, Tommy's and Wilbur's are too. It lights up the space around them, creating a bubble of security that Rambu feels more and more like just sinking into as they descend. He makes sure to keep a hand on the crystal at his throat and the other around Tubbo's waist. Letting go of either would be really, really bad, he thinks. Eventually, they slow, and Tommy lets go of Rambu in favour of darting forward and chasing after Wilbur in circles. Rambu thinks of the videos of dolphins he's seen before on YouTube, playing around in the surf with each other. That, or maybe orcas. These creatures are surely more deadly than dolphins, with their claws and sharp teeth. But Wilbur just plays around with Tommy and clearly keeps an eye on Tubbo and Rambu as Tubbo encourages him to swim on his own. He cheers quietly as Rambu gets a hang of his legs underwater. There's still some gravity, enough to drag his feet down to the bottom of the ocean and drag his toes in the sand. Fish flutter by here and there, and once, Tubbo reaches out to pull Rambu close as a shark floats by.
He won't hurt you,
Tubbo reassures Rambu as the animal swims by, lazily flicking its tail.
Not when we're here.
Jeez, Rambu whispers back. And Tubbo laughs as the creature disappears into darker waters. Around them are more covered stones, algae making their surfaces slick and sticking to the bottom of Rambu's toes as he pushes off of them. Seagrass and kelp tickle his legs, and Tubbo is still patient as he fumbles forward, occasionally tugging him along with a hand. Tommy and Wilbur end up circling around, Rambu ducking as Tommy careens over his head.
I win,
he crows happily, and Wilbur shoots past in a blur of brownish gold. He comes to a stop, lazily floating on his back as he comes back up next to Rambu.
I'm faster than you are, by a lot, and anyone who claims otherwise is a liar. Did you see, Tubbo? I beat him. I bet I could beat Technoblade now, too, even if—
No way,
Wilbur cuts in.
Techno would destroy you. Easily.
Incorrect,
Tommy sings. Rambu grins, watching him flick away into the current and bring up a hand, the small brown fish from earlier coming to lie in his palm.
Henry knows I'd win. I've simply got the prettiest scale pattern and the fastest tail and the best singing voice ever.
Sure, boss man,
Tubbo calls, clearly teasing. Emboldened, Rambu stops trying to poke a crab with his foot and shakes his head. I think Wilbur let you win, he says carefully. Beside him, Wilbur snickers, then bursts into laughter.
I like him,
he croons, flipping onto his stomach and making his way over to cup Rambu's cheeks in his hands.
You're funny, little human boy.
Thanks, Rambu says through squished cheeks. I try.
Let go of him,
Tubbo complains, and all three of them ignore Tommy wailing in the background, meandering across the sea floor with a mopey expression and betrayed look. It doesn't stop, not even as they approach a great outcropping of rock. Rambu thinks maybe he's the only person to ever see something like this, damn near certain as they approach what looks to be a curtain of kelp over some sort of opening.
I'm going to tell Phil on you,
Tommy is saying as he pushes right through it, gliding into the depths.
And then you'll be sorry.
I am still sort of confused on who Phil is, Rambu admits, tipping his head back to stare at the overarching rocks and reaching out, touching the kelp gently. Above them, if he squints, he can see the rippling waves above and the sharp angles of the moon reflected through them. Wilbur flicks his tail and enters before Rambu can.
Phil!
Tommy is whining. Tubbo nudges Rambu into the curtain of kelp, and he comes out the other side and nearly loses his breath. It's hard to describe as anything but a home. Kelp mats lie across both the floor and walls, ropes, trinkets that are clearly scavenged from humans by the shore. Lines of knotted kelp hang on the wall, and Rambu vaguely wonders what's written on them. Bits and bobs of everything Rambu can imagine. Bottles, nets, ropes, an action figure here, a jar full of buttons there. A trident leans against the wall, a few other weapons here and there as well. Everything has a layer of blue over it from the water, and some of the trinkets are more algae than item, but it's still impressive. The cave starts wide and narrows some in the back, darkening a bit, but lit up by what looks like... Are those jellyfish? Rambu asks, mouth hanging open as he kicks his way forward. He keeps away from the long, hanging tendrils, but sure enough, little glowing jellyfish echo around near the back of the large room and bounce off the walls in each other.
Yeah!
Tubbo says happily, following him. Tommy's disappeared further into the cave, but Rambu's keen to stay up closer to the curtain of kelp and outside. He's not too good with dark spaces like that.
They're cute, huh?
So cute, Rambu agrees, reaching out to poke the soft jelly part. Like squirmy lamps.
Lamps?
Tubbo questions, but Rambu's explanation is forestalled by Wilbur shooting out of the dark back of the cave and swirling around them.
Phil's pissed,
he sings happily, a low rumble in his chest making Rambu want to shrink up on himself. He glances over at Tubbo, who also looks worried, and that doesn't help his mental state whatsoever. And then something comes out of the depths. He's big. He's freaking huge, Rambu thinks to himself, reeling backwards and windmilling his arms as he's thrown off balance, the very current in the room changing and shifting with this new presence. Tommy's here too, a blip next to the huge mer beside him, someone who is a darker green than Tubbo, with a mix of grayscale against his hip. Fins litter his tail and skin, scales up to his chest and patterns curling over his arms and face. Similar to Tubbo's, they glow faintly in the dark. He's bigger even than Wilbur, and he settles down for a moment and allows Rambu to catch his metaphorical breath. Since technically, he is breathing water right now. That technicality does not settle his mind. In fact, as Phil's eyes turn to his throat and the crystal on it, he realizes how easy it would be for him to rip it away and leave Rambu floundering. No pun intended, he thinks morbidly.
Who is he?
Phil asks, in the tone that means I'm pissed but not outwardly showing it. Tubbo is curled up at Rambu's side, but doesn't hesitate to get in front of him and wind his tail around his legs.
My friend,
Tubbo says brashly.
Our friend,
Tommy grumps, flicking his tail in order to come around Phil's side and try to get to Rambu's. He's stopped by an arm, Phil giving him a warning look.
Where's Technoblade?
Wilbur pipes up.
It's no fun laughing at all your misery by myself.
Techno's out,
Phil says, a softness to his tone when he says the name. But then he looks at Rambu once more and narrows his eyes.
You two are idiots. The rule was no humans. It's always been the rule. Wilbur didn't have a problem as far as his excursion went. Techno neither.
Now, Phil is seeming less like an angry sea god and more like an exasperated parent, especially as he turns to face Tommy and Tubbo.
What were you thinking?
He helped us,
Tubbo argues, still pressed up against Rambu in a warm line from ankle to shoulder.
He was lonely.
I was not.
You were. Shut up,
Tommy gripes, rolling his eyes. It's a bit startling with the black sclera.
You helped us. We're helping you. Phil, look at him. He's right fucking pitiful.
That is true.
Wilbur jumps in.
Can't even swim with his feetsies.
So we thought you could help.
Tubbo chirps, and there's something going on below the surface, pun intended, that Rambu doesn't think he's grasping here. A lower register of a voice, a hum in Tubbo's chest that vibrates alongside his own. A language he doesn't yet speak, but one that makes Phil's eyes soften as much as eyes that dark can, and swim forward just a bit more. His hand is the size of Rambu's head, Rambu notes faintly, leaning backwards like it might help.
What's your name, mate?
Phil asks, and it's not unkind. Rambu, he breathes. A bubble escapes his mouth, catching against the currents before sliding along the top of the cave. Around them, kelp faintly shimmers in the light of the jellies.
Rambu,
Phil echoes back. I'm very confused, Rambu admits quietly. Phil stares at him, all imposing figure and terrifyingly sharp teeth. Something bumps against his side and draws his attention, Rambu flicking his eyes down and finding Tubbo there.
He's nice,
Tubbo insists.
And lonely. Please, can we help him?
I'm not lonely, Rambu argues, although it's a bit pointless since all of the mer in the room are looking at him like he's crazy.
We could smell it a million miles away,
Tommy says with another roll of his eyes. He flicks forward again, this time not impeded by Phil, and instead ducks under his arm, settling there. Rambu recalls they'd called him their dad. Based on size, Phil's older, and he's clearly in charge, so the dad thing wasn't too far off. I'm not, Rambu stutters, trying to make sense of it all. Mer smelling his loneliness and stealing him away? He'd heard stories of people disappearing when Mer was sighted, but everyone assumed they'd just been killed and the bodies scattered. This feels different. I'm not sad, though, he tries to say. Lonely is fine, I'm not unhappy. I still don't understand why you two... why I'm here, why you're here. He swallows. Can someone just please tell me? Phil looks at Rambu with an expression he cannot pass. He tries not to let it make him nervous.
Calm down,
Phil says gently.
We won't hurt you, little human.
Not unless you bite first,
Wilbur snaps, then darts away when Phil's tail lashes out and whips at him.
Hey! He doesn't even have sharp teeth. I was kidding.
We won't,
Phil insists. He's wonderfully inhuman in how he moves, shifting in the water and settling down on the stone with a smile.
Did the boys explain anything to you at all?
We told them about the excursion crystals.
Tubbo pouts, winding his tail around Rambu's legs and curling up close.
So, yeah.
I'm breathing with it, Rambu expands, lifting a hand to touch the crystal and its jagged edges. Across the room, Tommy and Wilbur bicker silently, lashing fins and sharp smiles, before settling into a comfy-looking pile of scales and skin. It's magic. A form of it. This is transmuting?
Sort of,
Phil says.
Mer, don't abide by the schools of magic. You lot do. Or at least, we don't explain it the same way. The crystals are a tradition for Fry when they come of age. They grant a week on the surface, gifting young ones legs. It satiates the curiosity, so that there aren't any unfortunate incidents as they become young adults.
Beside him, Tubbo yawns, his jaw cracking. It's like he's heard this a million times over, which he probably has. But this is new to Rambu, and he's enthralled. Do people know? He asks. Humans on the shore? He sure hadn't.
Some do.
Phil shrugs.
Some don't. We don't hide it, but we don't broadcast it either. Most Ma are hostile to outsiders joining their force.
We're not most Mer,
Tommy proclaims proudly, interrupting without shame.
Tubbo and I were orphaned. Phil saved Techno from Annette. Wilbur was...
outcast.
Wilbur says, with a yawn matching Tubbo's in grandiosity.
I sang a human to their death. By accident, but still.
Rambu hides the shiver that runs up his spine at that. Is that why you're this far north? He asks. Hiding?
Something like that.
Phil agrees, smiling as he nods. There's something unspoken to that phrase, something that hints at more, but Rambu doesn't think he'll ever be privy to it.
Do you understand now?
No, he admits openly. I'm not used to the ocean. I don't have any magic. I don't get any of this.
You don't have to get it.
Phil tells him, and it's quiet, like it's a private secret between them two, even though Wilbur and Tommy and Tubbo are right there and clearly listening.
You just have to feel it.
Rambu turns his mind back on himself and wonders how he'll know if he feels it. Because right now, he's confused and frightened and wondrous. What did Tubbo mean? He asks, after a brief moment of silence. Earlier, he said, I claim you as a son of the sea, or something like that. Or adoption. He definitely said adopt.
Ah,
Phil says, and he turns his great head to look at Tubbo.
Did he now?
Tubbo shrinks slightly under his gaze.
You like to take in strays,
he says with a small peep, staccato chirps floating through the currents and making Rambu's anxiety rise.
I was being preemptive.
But what does it mean? Rambu asks, emphasizing the word. Please.
Join us,
Wilbur drawls out from across the room. He waves a lanky hand in the water.
Give up your legs and the silly human life you're living now.
Oh. Oh. And just like that, it sinks in. The stories of sirens luring people to their deaths. The tales of mer and people gaining and losing legs alike. It is not impossible. No, Rambu knew that, but it is... it's...
Calm down,
Phil says gently, and Rambu takes a shuddering breath.
It's not a decision you need to make now.
You'd let me join you? He asks, unable to keep the desperation out of his voice. But for the last 18 years he's been lonely. So lonely, so frantic to feel loved, and now he's being handed it on a silver platter? Rambu's always been aware of the hole in his chest, the faint void where magic and family should be, where he should feel satisfied and full. Not hollow and alone. People around him spoke about it with ease, the warmth, the safety, the power. Phil's hands reach out, and Rambu's meet him halfway. Tubbo flicks out of the way, barreling into Tommy and Wilbur with a small oof sound, and Rambu's reminded of the first time he'd set eyes on them. In the corner of the cave, something catches his eye, and he turns. Hanging there is a shirt. Red, coral-coloured, familiar print. They'd kept it. Hung it on the wall like a badge of honour.
We would,
Phil says with a quiet smile.
Tommy and Tubbo seem to enjoy your company. Wilbur, do you vouch?
From across the room, an outwardly bored...
Sure.
But Wilbur's watching intently, Tommy's tail twined with his. Phil's fingers dwarf Rambu's, and he pushes forward to cup his hands around Rambu's chest. How does it work? He asks, breathless with terror but unwilling to move.
I'll give you what you're missing,
Phil says, and there's a tendril there, a spark. When Rambu lets it in, it bounces around that hollow in his chest. It's not a wildfire or even a flame, just a spark, the beginning of something that feels inherently right. Phil's fingers curl more around the crystal, and it fades some, but still hums with enough energy to keep him breathing. Phil is staring him in the eye, blonde hair and antenna waving in the water, and Rambu knows he's reading the very imprint of his soul. Magic like that is not rare, but it's important, and Rambu feels bare.
"What do you think?"
Phil asks, and his hands are cool on Rambu's chest, but warm at the same time, as they thrum in tandem with the magic around his throat. Rambu thinks. He thinks of his locked apartment above the fudge shop, of his bare kitchen, of Sam. He thinks about growing up without ever seeing the shore. He thinks about Tubbo and his glowing freckles, of Tommy playing with Wilbur, and the low croon that only makes him feel vaguely safe and fond. He thinks of the boardwalk and the train ride, of mango ice cream, of kelp knots and wanderlust. Gently, Rambu brings his hands up to his chest and hums back to Phil in a faint mockery of the noise he'd heard just before. He's painfully human still, and there's no substance to the sound, but he tries. Phil looks surprised for a moment. Then a smile splits across his face, and he brings one hand up to press against Rambu's forehead.
"It will hurt,"
he warns.
"I am putting magic where there was none before."
"But you'll be here?" Rambu asks hesitantly. The water shifts, and a hand curls over his own, faintly green. Then another over that, red and gold and black.
"Pod,"
Tubbo says quietly.
"We will never leave you behind."
Beside him, Tommy is grinning.
"We got you, boob boy."
Rambu thinks of the surface and the people who did leave him behind, and then nods. Phil is not wrong. It hurts. He spends hours in agony below the ocean as magic curls around his core and fills an empty space. People have done this before, he knows, but never like this, never trading one world for the other. It hurts, and he screams and cries, and all throughout it he is held against a chest. He hears lullabies in a language he is only beginning to understand. He is listening to Tubbo joke and wipe away his tears until, eventually, his tear ducts seal up, and he finds he can't physically cry anymore. Legs come together, scales split skin. Wilbur scares a shark away from the entrance, drawn by the pain and scent of blood. At some point, another mer enters the cave, confused sounding and a deep voice in a pink tail. He's quickly shushed, and a lullaby soothes any worries Rambu might have had, settling him back down into the hold of magic and love. Eventually, Rambu sits on the floor of a cave and breathes without a crystal around his neck. Phil has disappeared, presumably to rest on his own. Tommy is curled against Rambu's side, Tubbo on the other, and across the room, Wilbur and Amur Rambu assumes is Technoblade are dozing themselves. Faintly, he recognizes the pink from a few hours ago. Rambu blinks back into pain-free consciousness and holds his hand up, turning it over and over and over. Black and white scales paint his skin. He glances down and finds a finned tail, long and thin and curled gently underneath him. It's hard to tell, but...
"Like it?"
the pink mer asks softly. Rambu glances up, meets his gaze, then ducks his head again. He feels something flutter against his arm, and he glances down, gills, sitting in the crooks of his ribcage. His bones ache, but there's an odd, warm sensation in his chest. "Yeah," he breathes, spreading his fingers once more. Yeah, I do."
"Good,"
Techno says softly, a lullaby humming in the back of his throat.
"Welcome home."
Later, Rambu staggers out of the water as the sun rises, getting more than a few odd looks as he stumbles down the boardwalk, completely soaked and grinning. When Sam asks about the crystal around his throat, the newfound spark in his chest, Rambu shrugs it off. He says it's a gift from a friend, which isn't entirely a lie. Then he quits apologetically. As much as he knows Sam cares, Rambu has a place to go at night now, a spot to call his own in an underwater cave. He's got friends more magical than he could ever hope to be. Sam seems to understand the shift. His eyes catch on the way Rambu holds himself, how he can't stop glancing out at the waves. Before he leaves for good, Sam snags his shoulder and digs his fingers in. Then he passes over a pair of plastic sunglasses, wrapped in crunchy cellophane.
On the house,
he says.
Thanks for helping me out here.
Thank you, Rambu says, pretending like his throat isn't dry with gratitude. I thank you.
No, thank you,
Sam says quietly and holds his hand out. Rambu gently deposits the sunglasses into his palm, watching as he brings his other hand flat over the first and presses the cheap plastic in between. There's a moment of colour and light between them, a crinkle of plastic, and then the runes are gently fading and Sam is smiling. When he hands them back, the plastic is warm still, and they sink into Rambu's palm like they've always sat there. He knew Sam was a talented abjurer already, with the protective wards around the shop. But seeing it in action is a spectacle. And for someone so insignificant as him? Rambu presses the sunglasses to his chest, feeling the wards settle over his skin like a protective wetsuit.
Take care,
Sam instructs him. I will, Rambu promises. That night, he finds himself on the beach once more. This time, he doesn't hesitate to slip into the surf, to duck his head under the water and rip away the excursion crystal around his neck, letting out his own crooning call for family. The end. Thank you for listening.